9484, Leslie S. Miller, north of Smiling Wolf Lane, 250 feet south east of Road 307, a variance from front yard and rear setback requirement.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Leslie Miller, 30449, Smiling Wolf Lane, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966.
Brian Edwards, 30449, Millsboro, Delaware, Smiling Wolf Lane.
Your testimony you're about to give, show professional.
I have just a few papers here I'd like to give. This is the original survey, and these are just copies of those portions of the survey that show the lots. Good evening, I'm Ken Feaster. I represent Leslie Miller with regard to her request for the variance for the required setback. Ms. Miller actually had asked for a setback variance for both the front and the rear of the property. I believe we only really need it for the rear of the property, though. I believe that with the property line being across the 50-foot right-of-way, that only the rear portion would be necessary. Mrs. Miller has financed a manufactured home to be placed on the lot. She currently has a two-bedroom home, and she and Brian have three children. Since they have the three children, they find themselves in need of a larger home to accommodate the size of their family. Due to the irregular shape and shallowness of their lot, they would not be able to comply with a setback as required by the code, given the size of the home they need to accommodate the size of their family. To afford them the relief needed to place the home upon their property, they would require a 12-foot variance, which would create an 8-foot setback from the rear property line. When they were choosing the home, they asked at the assessment office which side of their lot would be considered the rear portion. As you can see, based upon the survey provided, they do rely upon a 50-foot right-of-way for access to their property. Therefore, they weren't sure if that would be considered the front of the lot or the southern portion, which would face towards the road across the adjacent lot. They were informed at that time that the western property line was the front of the lot. So based on that determination, they had no problem complying with the rear setback requirement for a properly sized home with a deck. They then chose the home, and they financed the home that they needed for the size of their family. They were then subsequently notified that the front of the lot would be that line that goes along the right-of-way. And that's, of course, the southern property line. Based upon that, they realized their lot was actually rather shallow rather than narrow. So this created the issue as the rear setback for which they seek the variance. Without the requested variance, they'd suffer unnecessary hardship and exceptional practical difficulty. Since the home has been chosen and financed based upon the initial information that they had received, they would face the hardship of having to scrap all their plans and the work that they've done thus far towards getting their home. The practical difficulty imposed upon them in the event that the variance is denied lies in the fact that a home large enough to accommodate the size of their family simply wouldn't fit on that lot with the required setbacks in place. They'd be limited to a smaller home that doesn't provide them with the space that they need for themselves and their children. The property requires the 50-foot right-of-way for access, as shown on the survey that was provided. That right-of-way abuts the front of the property for determining the setbacks. The size of the lot is such that it would not be possible for them to put a suitable home on the property in strict conformity with the required setbacks. Their desire to place a home on the property large enough to accommodate the size of their family would be a reasonable use of the property. Therefore, the requested variance would be necessary to enable them for this reasonable use of the property. In choosing the home that they chose to accommodate the size of their family, they relied upon the information that they had received, of course, as to which property lines would be the front and the rear. That being the case, they chose the home and found out subsequently that it would not comply with the setback lines because of the rear of the property. The right-of-way that moves along the property there serves several properties, so that they don't have the ability to remove that right-of-way to create a larger buildable area on this lot. which, of course, if they could, that would create a larger space and they could more easily comply with the setbacks as they are. The majority of the property surrounding their lot is actually owned and occupied by members of Mrs. Miller's family. The only property that is not owned by a member of her family is owned by the state of Delaware, which is a wooded area. There's currently a manufactured dwelling and a shed on their lot, and that's along the western property line. And those are going to be relocated in the near future in conjunction with putting the new home on the lot. This, along with all the close ties of the surrounding residents, illustrates the essential character of the neighborhood will not be affected by permitting this variance. The property would remain rural and residential and will maintain the family atmosphere of this community. The requested variance also will not impair any development of the surrounding areas. The requested variance actually would be more conducive to any development because it would move the existing shed and mobile home away from the right-of-way and would take it off of that existing property line. Therefore, there'd be no impairment of any appropriate use or development of the adjacent properties. Also, the requested variance, if were to be granted, would not be detrimental to the public welfare in any way. It would not affect any of the surrounding area to any extent beyond the improvements that are already on the property itself. Next, based upon the home that they wish to replace on the lot, the requested variance would be the minimum that would afford them the relief and would represent the least modification possible of the required setbacks to provide them to place their home. The home would be placed on the lot and the deck would be built within this requested variance. The size of the home at this stage cannot be changed, especially in light of the size of their family and the amount of space that they need for their home for their family. So the requested variance, unfortunately, can't be reduced. The requested variance, therefore, is the minimum that would afford them the relief that they need to reasonably use their property. And, of course, in order to accommodate the size of their family, they respectfully request this variance to allow an 8-foot setback to allow them to place the home on their property. I do have Mrs. Miller here, if there should be any questions that the board would like to direct directly to her.
Are there any questions for members of the board for Mrs. Miller?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Could I ask one thing? Is it just you're asking for just a rear yard now?
Yes, ma'am.
According to the director, assistant director, when I was questioning this, I was told from that easement you're supposed to be 30 feet back. That's why there's a front yard setback requirement.
Okay.
You need that variance.
Okay. Then in that case, we would ask for the front yard as well. My understanding was it would be from the property line and not.
I don't want her to have to come back if you.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
She needs that front yard also.
She does need a front yard. Okay. Okay. Thank you. Are there any further questions, Mr. McCabe?
No,
sir. Mr. Burton? Mr. Hudson? Mr. Mills? Hearing no further questions, are there any persons here that are in favor of this application? There's one, two. Is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Chair, hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Chairman, I think that the applicant has demonstrated that the request does meet the standards for granting a variance. Therefore, I make a motion that we approve case number 9484.
Second. Yeah. I have a motion by Mr. Mills, the second by Mr. Hudson, that we approve case number 9484. All those in favor of the motion, give you the voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case is approved. Yes, indeed. You're welcome. Okay, we'll go back. Let's see. We got one here under advisement. Let me make it front. Okay, that's case number 9473.
What about? You've got one no-show, 9,480.
Yeah, I can do that. First you want, don't take this one here, doesn't matter. All right. Go do the advisement first. I'm going to do the no-show, don't matter.
I'll do the no-show, get it out of the way.
Yep, that's where I was at. Okay. 9,473 is in under
80.
9,480 is the no-show. Are there, call that in again. The third and final time, please.
Case number 9480, David and Ann Allen.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion we deny case number 9480 for lack of representation.
Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
I have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Workman that we deny case number 9480 due to lack of representation. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion so carried. Case is denied. Now we'll go back to the one under advisement, and that is case number 9,473.
This one here
is denied. Mr. Burrow, we've heard testimony. Oh, wait,
Mr. Burrow, who is it that technically should apply here?
I don't know. I mean, I'd have to read the restrictions and the condo association declaration and so forth. Okay. I'm not sure that's really the direction we want to go. To me, it's like the restrictive covenants. That's a private matter between the owners of the condos. And as I said to Mr. Cole, if indeed there is a violation of the condo documents, then the other residents have a remedy privately, as would, you know, anybody in a restricted subdivision. So I think we have to take the application for what it's worth on its merits and take from there.
Okay, Mr. McCabe, how do you feel? Any further questions or?
Sounds like a lot of legal problems involved.
Mm-hmm.
Again, our attorney says that's the problem with the homeowners association, I guess. I don't know. We should table it.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Whitman, how do you feel?
Table it, will they come back with us and look at legal problems then and tell us or what, or we don't look at that at all?
I think Mr. Bell said we didn't look at that. And you wanted, Mr. McCabe, you wanted to table it for the reason of looking at it. Did you look at it, or were you going to table it for legal reasons? Or
I'm familiar with it. I just have a lot of legal questions.
There's a lot of information that was provided.
There's a lot of information that was provided to us, too. Is that what you'd like to look at also?
Yeah.
Need that, too. Okay.
Stuff to consider.
All right. Review all the legal stuff that was provided in. Okay.
Are we supposed to look at that legal stuff, right?
I don't believe so. I wasn't intending to.
Okay.
I mean, you know, we never have considered deed restrictions or covenants. It's not, you know, it's not our purpose or what have you. So, as far as, you know, who's responsible and, you know, them settling their differences, that's between them. The only thing we need to consider is should the variant, if it meets the standards for granting a variance, which I'm not so sure it does, it was created by the applicant.
The contractor, too, that, you know, if he started this thing without a contract, that's, you know, that's kind of hard to believe. But if he did that, we were out and there's more legal. I mean, like, you got all kinds of money.
Yeah, half of the variances you approve today. It may, if Cape Windsor, for example, they've got their own restrictions. Your granting of a variance to someone doesn't necessarily mean that it's good for them, because they've still got to get the approval of the homeowners association. And if there's a disagreement, then they have the right to enforce their own restrictions. I think the same situation is here. But I don't know, because I've not looked at them. And it's a lot more complicated in a condo, because you have varying degrees of ownership. You know, you own your unit, but there's common elements like the land and
local elements,
the pools. You have limited common elements, which is typically what a deck or a porch would be. And we're getting, you know, it gets just way too technical, and I don't think the board is supposed to really get into those things.
do you feel, Mr. Johnson?
I guess I want to make sure I understand something here. Seaview is the condominium. Sussex Shores is what?
Development.
Which consists of
the owner?
Condominiums and Seaview.
Yeah, it's within that development.
So then I guess you have a point to that, but who should have asked for the permit then, really?
I think Mr. Burrows has suggested that you know, this property applied for.
We have to assume that each of the owners can request their own variances. Okay. If that's a problem within the condo, that's, again, something they've got to take up themselves.
So the only thing we're charged with is the question, does it meet the standards for granting a variance?
Mm-hmm. That's basically what it comes down to, then, if that be the case.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to move that we table it until our next regular meeting, which is May 15th.
Okay. Do I have a second to that motion?
Second.
And we have a motion by Mr. McCabe, a second by Mr. Workman, that we table case number 9473 until our next regular meeting, which will be on May the 15th. All those in favor of the motion, give the usual voting sign.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Motion carried. Case is tabled. Okay, that's all of this evening's business. And right, 1, 2, 3 is tabled. Now we'll go to old business. We've got one case.